Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The real stat is a woman wears only 40% of what she owns. So 60% in your wardrobe is a waste.
Hi, I'm Cami Sharia.
And I'm Monica Ainley. And you're listening to Fashion No Filter,
where we sit down with some of the lead creatives, strategic thinkers, and emerging talent around us to interpret the ins and outs of the fashion industry today.
Hey, Cami.
Hey, Monica.
Guess what? I got a really funny DM from a listener last week.
A DM?
A direct message in my Insta inbox.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I thought maybe I could read it out and we could provide the answer on the pod as opposed to online.
Okay, hit me.
Tangled Thread 4005 writes, "Hey, any chance you guys could do an episode on what should go into a girl's closet without the trends? I know it's possible to Google it, but a lot of us want to hear it from you, ... Or at least I do." And here she inserts a photo of her closet, which, to be totally honest, looks a lot neater than mine. But anyway, she goes on, "This one is a big mess. I keep buying stuff and there's still nothing in it. Cheers, Angel." That's so nice. Well, Tangled Thread 4005, it's funny you should ask because this episode is actually going to be full of answers, I suspect. Not only are we going to be interviewing the founders of one of the world's leading secondhand fashion retailers, Bestia Collective, which, by the way, allows you to buy and sell secondhand pieces, designer secondhand pieces, but also, Cami, I feel like we need to talk about this eternal problem of all of us feeling like there's nothing to wear in our wardrobes.
What, you mean the thing of having a wardrobe full of clothes and eternally thinking, oh, I have nothing to wear?
Exactly. And we're kind of clearly missing the mark if this is a problem, a societal problem, because we're buying a lot of stuff, but we're not buying the right stuff.
I also think that a lot of us, or I've heard a lot lately, that Instagram, social media is to blame for this, yeah, and that it's because girls don't want to repeat outfits on the gram, don't want to be seen wearing the same things two nights in a row, etc., etc. But I think that this problem dates back to way more before that.
Yeah, so do
that
I.
Was not English.
I don't know. But I think that people have been overwhelmed by sort of trends flying at them for a really long time, and it's hard to pare it back to the essentials.
Well, I think also, like, women often want to wear something new to feel confident, and that's great. But what about also training yourself to not need something new to feel confident, and on the contrary, learning to mix and match the things that you have,
yeah,
in different ways so that you're actually playing around with your wardrobe so much better?
Exactly. And I'm sort of training myself in that way and trying to really invest in key pieces. And I have to say, those are what I feel best in.
Oh, and speaking of, I wanted to give a shout out to this amazing service called The Restory, which is a website that allows you to repair things that you've previously loved.
Oh, amazing.
And owned.
Do they come pick up the broken pieces from your house?
Yeah, so basically it's a website. You can go on it. I think it's therestory.com. I haven't checked. We'll put it in the show notes. But basically, you can send anything from a Chanel handbag with a broken chain, a lovely pair of ballet pumps that are all worn down, or, I don't know, you have your favorite dress that needs refitting to your body because it no longer fits. And actually, I think we so often think of replacing things, buying new ones when
rather
we've worn something, rather than repairing.
Yeah, so do I.
So anyway, note to everyone, think of also repairing the things you love before you start investing, even if it's investing in vintage pieces. That I think it's good to get these
new kind of services out there. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Check it out. Also, I went to the trouble to properly answer this listener because I was so honored.
Oh, so we're going to be fashion agony aunts.
Yeah, so I actually wrote down my essential pieces that I could not live without in my wardrobe, okay? I really thought about this.
Go on.
Okay, so a perfect suit, preferably in black. Admise does a great one.
I would say Velvet. Love a Velvet suit, yeah.
Okay. Where's your Velvet suit?
It's from Ray. Matches own brand.
Yeah, Ray is amazing as well. Almost flat, but not quite flat, elegant boots. I think Aide and By Far are really good for this, or if you have a bit more budget, Prada are brilliant at boots. A pair of black, gray, white, and dark blue ankle skimming jeans. Not too tight, higher waisted because it's more flattering. Gold sign denim are very good at this.
Yeah, I think with denim, it's what works for you. I think each person has their favorite style. I'm going for a very mom jeans look at the moment.
Yeah, me too.
I go through phases, but I think just find what fits you.
Yeah, gold sign. I like Helmut Lang as well.
Oh yeah, Helmut Lang unisex jeans.
Yeah, like the 90s ones. Yeah. Pair of slingbacks in a neutral color, probably black, to dress up the black jean at night and make your ankles look great. A crisp white shirt, go one size up. You don't want it to be too tight.
Where'd you get your shirts from?
There's a brand I really like called With Nothing Underneath.
I really like a brand called Pieces of White, which is really good. But I like men's shirts. I like Ralph Lauren and stuff.
Yeah, no. A size small men's shirt can be sometimes even better than...
Cost is good for shirts as well.
Uniqlo as well. White t-shirts from Kern Elliott, great feel. And tank tops and turtlenecks from a brand that I've just discovered called Frances de Lourdes.
Never heard of that.
Frances de Lourdes in English. It's really chic. Check it out. And they have a great Instagram account as well. Oh, and a bodysuit to wear under the jacket, which, because you can separate the jacket from the suit and just wear it with the jeans, right? But then you want to wear it in a casual way, a bit open, and you have to have something underneath. Prism bodysuits, really good.
I feel like this is Tetris of fashion. We should be providing the maximum amount of outfits you can wear with these combos.
Yeah, but wait, so would you add anything to this? Oh, maybe a piece of statement jewelry, like from Alighieri or Anissa Kermish.
I would also add a pair of what I like to call city sneakers, things that you wear, like, for example, a pair of cool New Balance or Asics trainers.
Absolutely necessary.
Veja are the sustainable option.
Yeah, I wear my New Balance a lot, I have to say.
I love also a big... extra large man coat.
Yes.
Because I think you can wear whatever you want underneath and just throw it on and not be cold. And then you can have like a skimpy little mini dress underneath if you're going out or whatever. And you're fine, even if it's freezing out.
And that's the last key investment piece, potentially the most expensive. Oh, by the way, also, I really believe in, like, if you have old jewelry that maybe like your mom gave you or something, and it feels old school, you can get it converted into something really new and cool as well. Like Jessie Thomas jewelry, her dad's a master goldsmith. She's learned his art and she's learned how to do this and she has really cool modern taste. But like with all of this stuff, you don't need to buy new things. Not to be preachy. Anyway, one more thing I wanted to tell you on this topic, Kemi, is I met this girl the other day on this visit to London called Catherine Quinn. She's a designer.
I've heard of her.
She's a brilliant designer and super committed minimalist. She's only worn black for the past 8 years.
Really?
She hasn't worn another color other than black.
Gosh, in London, that is a commitment.
Quite extreme. Yeah.
There's already not much light.
But she's like totally committed and she's super chic. Anyway, she designs in other neutral colors than black and everything goes super well together. And she has created city break capsule wardrobes. So you can actually buy the whole thing together. You don't even have to think about it and everything goes perfectly.
That's so fun.
She's just put out the London one, the Paris one's coming soon, the Florence one's coming soon. And it's actually all inspired by Joan Didion's packing list. Which
I love the packing list.
Should we read it out?
The packing list?
Yeah.
Yes, let's do it.
I love it.
Let me find it. The succinct travel list below, taped inside Joan Didion's closet door in Malibu for many years, consisted of everything the author needed when she set out on assignment. It was printed, along with Didion's own analysis of it, in her 1979 collection of nonfiction, The White Album. Here it is. To pack and wear: 2 skirts, 2 jerseys or leotards, 1 pullover sweater, 2 pairs of shoes, stockings, bra, nightgown, robe, slippers, cigarettes, bourbon.
We forgot the sweaters.
We did forget the sweaters.
That's so dumb because cashmere sweater is really important.
Very important, yes.
Okay, bag with shampoo, toothbrush and paste, basis soap, razor, deodorant, aspirin, prescriptions, Tampax, face cream, powder, baby oil.
To carry, mohair throw, typewriter. Interesting. Yeah, we definitely don't have those anymore. 2 legal pads, pens, files, house key.
This is a list, writes Didion, which was taped inside my closet door in Hollywood during those years when I was reporting more or less steadily. The list enabled me to pack without thinking for any piece I was likely to do. Notice the deliberate anonymity of the costume in a skirt, a leotard, stockings. I could pass on either side of the culture. Notice the mohair throw for trunkline flights, i.e. no blankets, and for the motel room in which the air conditioning could not be turned off. I hate that. Notice the bourbon for the same motel room. Notice the typewriter for the airport coming home. The idea was to turn in the Hertz car, check in, and find an empty bench and start typing the day's notes. It should be clear that this was a list made by someone who prized control, yearned after momentum, someone determined to play her role as if she had the script, heard the cues, knew the narrative. There is on this list one significant omission, one article I needed and never had, a watch.
I needed a watch not during the day when I could turn on the car radio or ask someone, but at night, in the motel. Quite often, I would ask the desk for the time every half hour or so until finally, embarrassed to ask again, I would call Los Angeles and ask my husband. In other words, I had skirts, jerseys, leotards, pullover sweater, shoes, stockings, bra, nightgown, robe, slippers, cigarettes, bourbon, shampoo, toothbrush and paste, basis soap, razor, deodorant, aspirin, prescriptions, Tampax, face cream, powder, baby oil, mohair throw, typewriter, legal pads, pens, files, and a house key, but I didn't know what time it was. This may be a parable either of my life as a reporter during this period or of the period itself. Isn't that brilliant? I do love it too.
And now for the interview.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Comme ça,
comme,
mais ah, sans toucher la bouche.
Comme ça.
Ça, on veut pas.
Ça, c'est oui.
Ça, c'est non.
Et ça, c'est non. Et ça, c'est non. Heureusement que t'es là. On y va? Yes, let's switch to English. So we're here today in London with the founders of Vestiaire Collective, a resale platform, a luxury resale platform, I should say. Thank you so much for joining us today. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hello, girls.
Hi.
I'm Fanny from Vestiaire, co-founder of the of Vestiaire Collective. I live in Hong Kong. I was part of the marketing brain of the company since day one.
And hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, co-founder based in Paris. I'm a fashion, 100% fashion woman in a tech company, but it is my background and it's complementary to Fanny's skills.
So let's go straight back to the beginning. You founded Vestiaire des Copines, as it was called then. I remember.
Deux copines.
Vestiaire deux copines.
Yeah.
Ah, I remember it badly, but I used it then.
Let's translate that. Hang on. That means the friends wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
Not
yeah,
like
yeah,
the cast of Friends.
Wardrobe. No, wardrobe. Friends to share. Well, it was renamed Vestiaire Collective. When was that? In 2012?
12, yeah. When we decided to open up the business to other markets and actually to the UK. So we kind of figure out very quickly that typing Vestiaire de Copine on Google for a British girl was kind of impossible.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially because Copine means nothing outside of France. So it was kind of the hell name to go global and to grow internationally with.
Mm.
So we had to go through the painful rebranding stage. But I mean, that was one thing we did wrong at the beginning.
Vestiaire was not really simple, neither to understand.
It's still very hard. I'm still. Yeah.
Vestiaire is a difficult yeah, word.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful yeah, word, though. It's nice.
It's chic.
Yeah.
Chic. And everyone kind of calls it Vestiaire.
I was proud to find Vestiaire, and my business partner, another co-founder, find the copine. And I said, but in fashion, we are not copine, friends, you know, it's
oh,
not
no one
chic.
Is friends in fashion. Oh, yeah, 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 right. Everybody hates each other.
It's not.
No.
It's not, not anymore, enough. But maybe in the 90s, that's in how it was like.
Yeah. Or in the noughties.
People are much kinder
early
to each other now in fashion.
Nice. But it was funny because when we changed our name, the community said, oh, why?
We lost the copine,
etc.
Really? And backlash. Backlash from the copine.
Yeah, yeah. They were really attached to, we were calling ourselves VDC at some point, and they were like, where are the copine? The copine are gone. And
so the beginning of our community, you know, how we connect the community between them, and it was more female community, but they were a bit sad, and some are still asking, where are the copine?
Oh,
yeah.
But I still feel, through my experience on Vistia, because I'm a seller and an occasional buyer, there is still something intimate about it. Or not intimate, but you do feel like you're making connections with people all over the world. I mean, you price haggle with people, you share what you love.
Yeah, you can follow people.
Yeah.
It's a true, I mean, it's a true community. It's being a community is one pillar of the brand. And we really believe that that brings another level of emotion to shopping. So yeah, there's behind secondhand, there's story. Every single item has a story. Every single person has a story. So that emotional connection goes above and beyond the e-commerce, basically.
And you were so ahead of the game, because when you founded Vestiaire Collective, so this was 10 years ago in 2009, I don't think circular economy was the buzzword that it is now.
No.
I mean, how difficult was it back then to convince people to sell and buy previously loved luxury goods online? What's the story? Tell us how it all started.
I think, yeah, you're right. Sustainability, circular fashion were not buzzwords, but at the same time, I mean, the story being part of the co-founders just opening up their wardrobes and finding those amazing pieces that they were not wearing. So basically the real stat is a woman wears only 40% of what she owns. So 60% in your wardrobe is a waste. And that was your point, actually.
I'm so scared for Mark to hear this. This is just adding fuel to the fire.
But you're selling, so you don't have that 60%. So you're smart. But that was the starting point. Yeah. Without calling it circular fashion, without calling sustainability, it was waste, pure waste, dying there in your own wardrobe. So that was one of the starting points. My starting point was on the other side, looking at your ancestors, basically the fashion bloggers at the time, like 11 years ago, were starting to resell on their blogs individually to kind of fund the next purchase and so on. And I understood, so from a marketing background, that it was the end of ownership. My mom, for example, if I take my own case, she would buy a leather jacket and wear it for years and years and treasure it and so on. That time I wanted just to buy a new jacket or a new coat every season, for example.
Oh, that's like such a big thing to say, the end of ownership.
Yeah, of course.
It's true though, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of desire for newness that was fueled by the fast fashion, basically. Mm-hmm. So I kind of came up to that point where, okay, if those girls are starting to resell, I would rather buy from a girl that I look up to or that inspires me, rather than simply going to a magazine and looking through looks and so on, which is less real in a way. I started to understand that kind of community element was also very important, the end of ownership on one side, the community element on the other side. And at the time on the web, there was no place you can have those fashion people together. You had eBay, of course, but eBay was everything and anything.
Concerning eBay, it was something maybe that we used eBay, but it was not inspiring. We didn't invent the second-hand industry. It was existing. But probably we modify by pre-love fashion means we bring emotion, we bring innovation, we bring inspiration and trust that didn't exist. And probably that's why we disrupt the ecosystem 10 years ago. Yeah.
Bringing trust and inspiration. So basically getting rid of the old stigma that were stick to secondhand, like was dusty, a bit smelly, you know,
like
remember?
My mom used to say this horrible thing. Forgive me, mom, for saying this, but she used to say, vintage? People could have died in those clothes. And I was like, no, mom, it's cool.
But that was the perception.
Absolutely.
That was the perception.
And now this is really
now it's cool.
Yeah.
And we erased what we've tried to achieve, and is erasing all these old stigma on secondhand and make it cool by building different things from our own content, our own editorial, putting pieces and looks that are completely in the now and in the trends, but being with clothes that were from 5 or 2 seasons ago, and creating a brand. Basically, Vestiaire is first and foremost a brand.
Yeah.
And so by building that inspiration and building the trust also, because when you're buying from another individual, and again, back in the days, you can easily get fooled on quality and authenticity. So we wanted to...
There's a lot of that happening on eBay still now.
Yeah, still now, yeah, for sure.
Because no one was there checking that it was
authenticating.
Course, you know, I could say my bag is Gucci and you got to... take it at face value. But guys, can we take a step back? Can you tell us about your backgrounds a little bit? And did you study fashion? Where did you grow up? How did you meet?
I studied fashion. I'm born in France, in Champagne. Then I studied fashion in Paris. And I was studio manager for 15 years. I was in the from the creation part, between the director artistic and the stylist and the commercial and the production. That's why it was, for me, maybe easy to build the offer, because I was a responsible owner of the catalog. How are we going to build the photography of the fashion, and also for all our quality control and authentication process. It was maybe easier for me to build this this job that I came from the traditional industry to put in a digital model, but it's common jobs.
I'm a girl from the South, so raised and born near Montpellier, family of entrepreneurs, so my first touch point with fashion was in my mother shops when I was young adult or old teenager, helping her basically on the ground. And then I graduated, very classic French background, graduated from a business school, started my career tiny bit in fashion at John Galliano, his own brand back in the days. And then I worked for a few years in a home decoration, company. And I
give the name.
No. No, but it's something. I'm not proud of that. But I mean, it was an amazing learning curve, because I learned marketing, basically, not online marketing, but classic old school marketing. And it really gave me the strength to go back to what I love, because I wasn't passionate about my job at the time. Again, learn a lot, but not passionate. So when I had my first baby, my two girls back to back, I decided really it was time to go back to my early love. And if I wanted to go back to work, I had to feel passionate. I wanted to leave my kids at home to go back to a shitty job. So in between the two girls, basically, I went back to school. I did EFM, L'Institut Français de la Mode. Mm-hmm. And that's when the whole thing happened. I kind of reconnected with the family story, which is being an entrepreneur and launching your own stuff. So that's kind of how Vestiaire came across.
One common point we had is probably we were inspired by also our mother, maybe by their aestheticism, you know. Mm-hmm. There's something I read that you said that, and I also was inspiring by my mother, and I have something really, I stick with the vintage pieces, you know, from my grandma, I think you too, and from our mother, and I think that's
the only pieces in fashion. I mean, I don't keep anything from myself to my girls, but I still treasure the Alaya crazy denim suit that my mother gave me, and all this, because for me it was like the 80s, right? Those super powerful women with like big shoulders and very like skinny skirts. And I have that memory in mind of a very strong mother that I think shaped my who I am and the love for fashion also.
And for my son, it was like my mother was really freedom person, woman, you know. And it's something that I feel when I started in fashion, and I started with, I was inspired by Alaya also, because I work with the designer of Alaya, and there was something really strong in the freedom, and it was in the 90s. It's a good decade also for that, and it was really inspiring. But after 15 years in this industry, I felt a little bit, I don't like this word, but bored, because it doesn't move a lot. You know, you replicate always 2 collection per year, etc. And so it's missing innovation, and that's why I was a bit afraid by the digital part when I met Sebastian. But it was something more disruptive that was missing in the traditional industry.
Well, the interesting part also is that obviously back then it was just perceived as boring, but now it's crucial for us to change that system, I think, because as we were saying, and we've said before on this podcast, like we all know that there's an ecological crisis going on at the moment, and the way we shop and the way we consume things needs to change. So it's so good that we've got people like you innovating in that field.
And in this ecosystem.
In this ecosystem, exactly. Yeah. Maybe we should go into like the definition of what the circular economy is for our listeners. I feel like everybody like hears that word bounced around a lot, and I'm sure you guys could give us a really good definition.
And why it's important to champion it.
I think if you try to look at what is circular fashion, basically it's the understanding of lifespan of an item from its production to its end of life. So it's the whole spectrum of that life, and we with Vestia we're addressing just one piece of that kind of story, which is the ownership. And what we're trying to achieve is make every single garment last longer, because what we prove and what has been proven is by extending just by 9 months is nothing, the lifetime of one product, you kind of save 30-40% of the impact on the planet. So by extending the lifetime of, again, your wardrobe, you kind of act and have a very sustainable way, more sustainable behavior. And I think going back to fast fashion, we've been 20 years ago completely badly educated by fast fashion, because fast fashion made us move from an era of, if I exaggerated a little bit, it's 2 seasons a year to now 52 seasons a year. So that kind of constant newness has been filled by fast fashion is I think really badly impactful for the planet, because we consume compared to 20 years ago, we consume and we buy 400% more clothes than 20 years ago. 400%. And we wear them
like, 6 times. Yeah. I think it's the average.
Well, we wear 40% of what we own.
I think the stat is one item is worn on average 7 times before it's disregarded.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's completely crazy. And I think also the second bad impact and bad thing that fast fashion has brought is that kind of cheap, at least not the true value of things. Because when you buy £3 t-shirt, there's someone paying for that t-shirt somewhere in the world. So people now don't have the true value of things anymore. And what we are trying to achieve with circular fashion is basically educating people to buy less, but invest in better quality. Because when you have a quality product in hands, it will last longer across time, but across users. So you can wear it for 7 times and then pass it on to the next its next owner. So that's the whole mentality of circular fashion, less but better quality and for a higher resale value at the end of the day.
So the resale industry is growing 1.5 times faster than the fast fashion industry, which 5 years ago, maybe none of us could see coming, as you were just mentioning. For example, after becoming the richest man in the world briefly in 2015, Amancio Ortega, the founder of Inditex, has been bumped back down to number 6. Why do you think resale is on the up and fast fashion isn't necessarily? And do you see this trend continuing?
Our mission, again, to educate people to step away from throwaway fashion. And I'm not talking about Zara only. I'm talking for all the groups and the brands that are throwaway fashion, because it's really damaging to, again, let people think because they just pay peanuts for whatever garment, they can throw it away after 2-3 times. Hopefully, with a lot of pedagogy and education, people tend to understand that with the same price of fast fashion item, you can have a second-hand, better quality items, and you can potentially afford some, I don't know, Maje, Sandro, or any kind of affordable luxury
pieces. Realization.
But that have way better quality and that you want to treasure more and to potentially pass on. So I think the consumer has shifted, the mentality has shifted. Of course, fast fashion will still be consumed and it's not completely the end, but we are trying at least to, again, educate people to leave that on the side. And
I think all the industry now is conscious about the environmental impact. And probably also the fast fashion now try to improve about that. You can find touch point, you know, in boutiques. Some boutiques, I won't give the name, but of the boutique, but recycle process.
It feels a lot like greenwashing, though, because if you're opening fast fashion companies, stores around the world, and you're encouraging people to buy so much, like it's not by recycling five things that you're gonna,
and there's also the whole creation process, which basically they're stealing from designers.
Yes,
and
also, yeah.
So that's another.
And the people in their factories that are not paid decent wages, so that's also the human cost. I mean, it's...
But the industry answered to the demand. They wanted more, they wanted faster, so they produce more and more. So probably we are all responsible. That's why we
have to go to slow, back to slow fashion. Huh?
Well, yeah, and what I love about your concept as well is there's also always this background question people were addressing a little bit. I was at the Copenhagen Climate Summit 6 months ago, which is, well, isn't worrying about sustainability and fashion a sort of concern of the wealthy? I know I bring this up a lot, but there is a good point to be made there, which is like, everyone wants access to fashion. Everyone wants to be part of looking cool. Totally. I suppose on some level, what's really cool about a resale business is that, you know, you can buy into
It's affordability at the end of the day, because we
democratization. Yeah, exactly.
Fashion, and you can have a very tiny fashion budget, but still aspire to...
The first thing I bought on Vestiaire de Copine was a pair of Isabelle Marant-Decker boots.
Oh, you were
right. Oh, my goodness, yes.
It was
and
so
I couldn't
hot.
First of all, I couldn't afford them. Couldn't afford them at that age. I must have been maybe 17. Yeah. Everybody had them. I wanted them so badly, and I couldn't afford them. So I went and looked for a secondhand pair.
Yeah.
And I wore them till they died.
We just released... It's funny you say that, because we just released a survey with BCG. And actually, one of the results of the survey is to say... I think 71% of the respondents are saying that they buy secondhand because they cannot afford the piece firsthand. So it's a really recruiting mechanism. And then amongst those 71%, 56% are saying, you know what, when I have the budget and when I would love to buy firsthand. So I think secondhand is a great way for people to access brands and to try a brand they cannot afford firsthand. And slowly they would bring up and then getting a bigger budget, they will afford buying firsthand. So it's really a recruiting mechanism.
Yeah, so does that create a friendly relationship between you and the big fashion houses, because you're like creating a gateway customer on some level?
And on that side, yes, we are enabling first-time users and first-time buyers then to upgrade their purchase to the brands. And on the other side, what we prove also in that survey is that the sellers, the first-hand buyers are second-hand sellers. So basically, people who shop new, they continue shopping new, but because we exist at some point,
maybe you said that you sell on Vestiaire.
Yes, I do.
Do you buy, and you don't buy in Vestiaire?
Monica's not a big shopper. We've discussed this before. It baffles me. She's so sustainable. She just wears her stuff, and that she just... You're amazing.
Well, darling, let's address the pink elephant in the room, which is that I'm gifted a lot of my clothes.
Yeah, but still, you've always been like this. I really admire you for it. I find that you're not tempted by anything.
I don't have a tiny wardrobe. I mean, again, my husband is probably laughing hysterically listening to this. We just had to get a bigger apartment for the wardrobe.
Okay.
So tiny,
I have
by any stretch.
I have the opposite version, actually, which is when I relocated to the UK 5 years ago, my first interview I did was about my wardrobe, blah, blah, blah. And then the editor came to my bedroom at the time and she was like, open up your wardrobe and show me your stuff. And I opened up the wardrobe and she was like, okay, show me the rest.
Oh, really?
And I was like, what rest? Like, yeah, you might have like winter stuff. And no, it's all here. And I was like, are you kidding me?
But, you know,
she couldn't believe that
you to have more.
Yeah.
But that's
wardrobe.
Great. But we've just been talking before you guys arrived about how to condense your wardrobe into what you actually want to wear, which, you know, it sounds like you're thinking about that. You are actually right, Kem. I do think about that a lot. I try to move things back into the circular economy when I'm not wearing them anymore. I do think about that a lot.
You know, but in my wardrobe, I only have five brands. So it's really short.
Really?
We
really want to know what they are.
We must know.
You want to know which one? Céline?
Wait, Céline or old Céline?
Phoebe.
Old Céline.
Yeah.
Saint Laurent,
really
sure.
Saint Laurent, you're right. Yeah, I'm to Saint Laurent today. Now Balenciaga.
Yeah.
Mm. I love Balenciaga. After it's some accessories, but it's some from...
Hermes?
No, from Gucci or old vintage pieces. But no, it's less than five. No, Acne and APC.
And Chanel?
Not really.
Really? I'm not a Chanel woman. I'm a big Chanel Vestiaire person.
Really?
Really?
All my Chanels are from Vestiaire.
Really? Yeah,
all of them. And I absolutely love them.
Clothes, accessories, shoes,
bags. So shoes, I buy them new when I find something I want. I don't buy very many, like much ready to wear from Chanel because it's very expensive. But bags, I find them even more expensive. But I actually think it's really fun to look for one that's unique and that you know that it's yours.
Really fun. Yeah.
And I think it adds an element, that like treasure hunt element to it, adds a little bit of value to going into the store and buying something. Okay, cool, it's new, but you know that other people will have it. Whereas this one, it's really yours.
That's why this is so exciting and emotional.
Yeah, it's when really a true behavior. Like members will tell us, like, I go on the app on a daily basis and, you know, kind of scroll through and have that emotional feeling, oh, wow, what did I miss? That kind of FOMO of, and you never know what to expect.
Fine.
And and some members were telling us, it's, I remember that quote from the UK, one girl was telling me, it's my daily fashion fix. So it's as powerful as a drug. They needed to go through that emotional roller coaster of saying, okay.
Yes, it is very emotional, the whole process.
Yeah.
Without being sort of devil's advocate, like, is there not an element of contradiction in having that whole new in section and fueling this thing, our constant need for newness, if what we're trying to do is encourage people to want less and buy less? Do you see what I mean?
You can still be reasonable and make, I mean, my way of dealing with that, because I'm like everybody else, I still want new stuff every other day, but I force myself to, I mean, I have a personal policy which is one in, one out. Before buying anything, I force myself to sell something. So I'm always on a positive budget first.
I like that. One in, one out.
Yeah. And it's basically also my wardrobe never explodes, because I would wear something and enjoy it, but as soon as I'm done, I will sell it to buy something new. So I'm constantly renewing my wardrobe without exploding my budget or going crazy on consumption. And I think it's quite a powerful way to tackle that issue.
Such a good rule. I think I might start trying to do that. We should challenge ourselves to do it and see how we go, and then talk about it in a few episodes.
Should we shake on it?
Let's shake on it. Okay.
Well, the one in, one out challenge.
Let's do
speak
it.
In a year.
We will update you in a few episodes.
We could do stories about it.
Yeah.
When you're like on the verge of buying something, you've got to call me.
I've got to call you. Like, yeah, like when you're about to text your boyfriend, your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah,
like, Monica,
I'm about to buy
something. No, help me.
I don't do that, by the way.
Look. No, I know you don't. I meant in general, like as girls do when they have to text. I my best friend is currently going through a breakup, so we do the rule. She
Nobody
has to text me instead of texting.
Nobody should ever text their ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, no texting exes, please.
neither husband nor nothing. We are empowered to do our own fashion shopping anytime.
If you need to
anywhere.
Go into the past, go for vintage shopping, okay, people?
Not vintage boyfriend.
What about because if we are going to talk about the fact that there are trends and stuff, even in the vintage world, can you let us know what people are looking for? What are they searching for on the website?
When you talk about vintage, is it secondhand or real vintage?
Real vintage, I think.
Oh. A real vintage. Of course, you will always have the iconic pieces from houses, from Louis Vuitton, Hermès, Chanel. But now you know that houses are doing reedition in the collection. Now people are trying to find, look for the original ones. So we saw the saddle, we saw for Céline. So it was really hot.
Fendi.
Fendi
the baguette.
The Gucci Marmont.
It's funny on the saddle, just on this one, when we launched Vestiaire with back 10 years ago, we gathered 3,000 pieces to start. From our network.
Yeah.
And I sold my saddle bag at the time.
In
jeans. 50 euros.
50 euros?
Oh, no.
But there was no demand
at,
on
at
it.
At the
it
time,
was
it was like uncool.
Yeah.
But it's Galliano.
Yeah, no.
On that question, actually, was it hard to get your friends and your network to sell their clothes at the time?
Hard? No.
No, I mean, we gathered, between the six of us, we gathered 3,000 pieces.
Six of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were six.
Six founders, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, but, I get it.
Six,
oh, it wasn't
not only
six
person.
Women with 3,000 pieces.
Big, big one.
No, we called everybody around and so on. And I think, I mean, on my side, I remember asking my friends and so on. They weren't really sure. They made it for us, so they lend us the pieces and so on. I think they weren't really realizing what was it for. And then they really... solid understanding when the site was live and so on, but at the beginning they were a little bit like...
But what was difficult is that we wanted at that step, yeah, we created even yeah, in our friend's wardrobe.
A super picky. Yeah. We don't want that. Just give me the best. No, but that was not so difficult. And what was also amazing is the demand. I mean, immediately we pressed the button, the site was live, and first day, first sale, a Gucci bag of mine was actually a good surprise. But I think the time to market was amazing. And in France, it was kind of a hidden, cool secret. The girls were like, the word of mouth was crazy.
Yeah.
And girls were sharing that Vestiaire de Copine secret, and then literally started very organically, but very surely. So it was super positive.
Coming back to the saddle bag, it was in 2017. I think the market, why it was so hot, it's because the demand was so strong on second hand. Then after we saw it in the new collection. And I think, you know, there's something in the second hand market trend that serves to the first hand market. Mm.
That's such a, yeah, wow. Yeah. That's so interesting. That's probably why they brought it back, because it was doing so well on platforms like you. If they're selling them, going through and selling and selling and selling, why not re-edition?
The temperature of the second hand is really important today.
I have a question. What was your most searched for item this season? I'm very curious about what people search on your website.
We've done the exercise to go back. I mean, even not especially this season, but beginning of the year was, and end of last year was the saddle, definitely. Big search. At some point it turned to be the baguette.
And all the logo, you know, all the
logo mania,
Céline.
The people type designer names.
Yeah, directly. And now it's really about Bottega, the pouch,
Loewe,
the cassette, crazy.
And the pouch, yeah.
It's insane how that has just exploded. Well, the need for old Céline.
And the old Céline, yeah, when she left, we saw a boom of our inventory of old Céline.
And new Céline also. I mean, we have a funny story, which is last season when the show was on, and basically the next day we replicated the show with the vintage pieces of Céline, and literally it was a copy and paste.
The bourgeoise
and everything sold like in seconds. So basically recreating the Céline current collection with vintage, super easy, and at the same time you own the real pieces from the brand from day one. And
that's such a cool idea also, the fact that you don't need to wear new to be on trend, and you just go in and you search for things. I love that idea.
Well, especially with designers bringing back past decades, it's like, guys.
Yeah, we say in France, la mode est un éternel recommencement, and that's the end of the day, the true thing.
How would we translate that? The world of fashion is an endless circle, a never-ending
fashion
circle.
Is an endless circle.
Or it should be anyway. That's what we're trying to do.
No beginning and no end.
Like, obviously, there's a lot of stuff on Vestiaire Collective, and just like rummaging in a store, vintage shopping can sometimes feel a little bit daunting for people who've never done it before, who's certainly not very good at it. What would be your tips and tricks for someone who has never really dared to shop something secondhand? Where should they start?
I think the tips and tricks are, whether you know what you want, you set up your alerts. So basically, I was recently looking for a Marc Ross bag, and like I knew exactly the color, the model, and so on. So you set up your alerts, and you just, first tip is download the app, because that's where you're gonna go and gonna have your alerts on a second base on your phone. So that's when you know what you want. When you don't know and you're more like willing to get inspired, I think the best way to go through it is to follow people. So we are a community of 9 million members now. Mm. So the aim at the end of the day is to find the girls and the people that inspire you and hopefully have the same size or shoe size as you. And through the wardrobe of that girl, she could be in Hong Kong, in Paris, in New York, whatever, but feeling inspired by that person and discovering a wardrobe along the days and the months, I think is the best way to...
You create your own community that inspire you.
It's kind of the Instagram of fashion, but in a shoppable way. And we are launching a lot of new cool features. And there's one who's going to launch mid-November, which is the newsfeed, basically will empower people to get even more updates of their own community on the side. So it's really about following the right people and curating your own vestiaire through the vestiaire of those different girls in the world.
I think we fit with the industry that before, vestiaire probably inspired more with our own editorial. And now we leave the community to animate their own profile, connect themselves to inspire each other. And it's also now how people shop and live, you know.
There's a lot of cool, amazing girls and famous girls, obviously, on the platform.
Yeah.
Such as you girls, but a lot of other ones too.
Probably some people even more famous, huh? Yeah. I mean, do you have like actresses and stuff? You must. Yes.
No name.
Very discreet name because it's obvious and it's she's been open with it. It's from back in the days and it's Kim Kardashian.
What?
No.
She's a big buyer.
Did you guys see that the Kardashians are launching a resale platform?
Yeah, her own platform. What? Yeah. But she was buyer and
We have a funny story, which was, I can say that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Long time ago, you know, when on an e-commerce website, you always have to check your transaction. You can have credit card fraud and these type of things.
Right.
Now everything is super automatized and we have all the system in place. But early in the life of Vestiaire, we used to check that manually. And the person who was checking that was on holiday. And one of our founders, Christian, I love you. But it was at the time doing the process himself on, you know, to replace the girl who was doing it. And one day he came in the meeting room and was like, guys, I have a problem. I have this. We didn't launch the US yet. I have this very big order, more than 5K coming from LA. And the girl has a very weird name. She's called Kim Kardashian.
We stopped him.
What?
Christian!
Truly, the guy didn't know at the time.
No.
He was a tech guy, huh?
And it was such a funny, I mean, that's how we understood and we first realized that Kim was ordering on the site and then we had a...
How funny. And if he hadn't
thought
her name was weird, you might never have realized.
On a daily basis, you don't check all the names of the people on the platform. So.
But we know we launch because we learn about this experience. We learn a service for VIP because a lot of women didn't have time, you know, to do by their own, how to deposit, to describe, to animate. So we launch a VIP service which probably regroup a lot of famous people or journalists or actresses or singers.
It's also really just super helpful because like a nice smiling person comes to your house.
Yeah. And manage everything for
manages
you.
Manages everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was useful. Very good idea.
Well, no, but it's a full-time job to sell things. It takes a lot of time to make sure it's done properly. While you smiling is what your
when
husband
you have
does. Oh, sorry.
When you have a huge wardrobe, I have like, I mean, I do it myself.
He's obsessed with it. But he's obsessed. He's addicted to bestia.
Monica's husband is addicted to
bestia. Yeah, that's what he told me.
Yeah. How come?
During the breakfast.
Meaning as a buyer, as a seller?
No, as a seller, but...
He sells.
He just loves it.
Monica's wardrobe. Yeah.
He's like on the app, like at
every
night.
Day. We are releasing a survey for the 10th birthday, which shows, like, we call it selling is the new buying.
Yeah.
It triggers even more
endorphins.
Yeah.
To sell.
Because you have that kind of winning rush. You have the bargain and you have like,
beauty. Because I was like, you know, there's like a VIP service that I'm allowed to use. And he was like,
No.
And I like him. I'd rather go
C2C
and
do
the whole thing myself. Yeah, of course. Anyway, authenticators. So you guys have experts who work for you, who inspect to make sure that it's a real Chanel or a real Fendi Baguette or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
How can they tell? How do they look at it? How do they know?
It's in our specialist that it was funny because at the beginning, when we launched Vestiaire and we said, okay, we will do trust processes with authentication, I was the expert. But I bought new, you know, and I didn't know how counterfeit could be so sophisticated, etc. So I quickly understood that I had to bring back the expert in the traditional industry from auction house.
Oh, wow. So this morning we had breakfast all together, didn't we? Tell us where and why.
Suffragees.
Yes. Super happy. I think we're turning 10 and it's the most amazing way to celebrate that birthday to launch our first boutique. So we used to do pop-ups and we did two with Selfridges
last year.
yeah, a little bit more than a year ago. And it's the first time we really have a permanent store within Selfridges and permanent ever in the life of Vestia. And I think it's an achievement for us. It's also being very proud to have our name alongside this huge name, which is Selfridges. And I think we share common values, which is we are both in our field disruptors. Innovators, and we're also very engaged in sustainability. So sharing those two values, it felt natural for both of us to engage ourselves in the mission of educating people and having people embrace that circular fashion. So very happy since Monday to have our first boutique.
We sold already.
Yeah, my God.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I know, I bought something.
You bought the Saint Laurent top?
Yeah, I bought an Yves Saint Laurent corset.
It's suede. Super cool.
Yeah. I walked into breakfast and I was like, right. I didn't think I was going to be shopping this morning.
Your size and so on, perfect.
Yeah, I haven't tried it on actually, but it's my size.
I told her, don't worry, just buy it. No, if you don't like it, I'll buy it off of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Very circular.
It might not work because I have very small boobs, but I have a lot of friends that don't have very small boobs and will be very happy with it if I don't, and I know that. So
at breakfast I was asking people how it works because I was quite fascinated to know how you buy online at a bricks and mortar store. It's like we're going in the opposite direction of what was happening a few years ago. So there's these big screens.
Yeah.
So you put out capsule collections. There's a selection out on the shop floor, and then there's big screens that people can go shop more on.
Which is not yet shoppable. It's for inspiration and for people
for
people to understand kind of how large the catalog is and so on. Right now we wanted to focus on the physical experience, and then there will be along the months a lot of new things in the partnership that will be announced, but right now it was about embracing and letting people embrace circular fashion basically and enjoy amazing vintage or past season items.
We curated 10 really iconic pieces, vintage pieces, from Gucci, Tom Ford period, Montana, Mugler. That was important for us just because that rare exceptional items, pieces from the past decades were interesting to show in the boutique. But the rest of the floor, which is I think around 200 items, reflects exactly what we have in the inventory of Vestia. You know, it's the same experience that when you are at Selfridges, at Vestia Collective boutique, and on the site, same inventories, same trends, and you will find the new luxury, the streetwear pieces.
It's interesting to what I've noticed in we launched, so we open officially on Monday or Wednesday, and what I sold the most is that kind of bourgeoise look. There's a rail full of kind of this nuance of beige and brown and those
natural tones.
cool jacket and so on, and they've sold like
the guy's good
ones. Yeah,
what can you do?
You guys are good too.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on Fashion No Filter.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.